This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is made possible by everyone supporting us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. It's where we're doing our ongoing Star Wars Rebels commentary series and many more awesome bonuses along the way. You can find out more at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Aw, yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. You know what that sound is? Now you might be saying, "Hey, that's the 8-bit Cantina band, Riley." I say that's the sound of Riley's laptop is in the repair shop, so he's using his old laptop. So he just went to the first Star Wars playlist he had on Spotify. Oh man, it's going to be one of those weeks, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. I am Riley Blanton, your host for this evening. Mark's out this week. He has camping responsibilities. That's what I'm calling it. he, as often is the case. But you can stay tuned with his adventures on social media. He'll be back with us next week. But here in his fine stead is a longtime friend of mine. In fact, he's someone I've known for a long time. Now that's a friend I've not talked to in a long time. A long time. It's Jedi Schwa. Schwa, how's it going, man?
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Welcome. Welcome to the program, sir. Your debut, and it's long overdue. Talk about, I think we've mentioned several times, like, oh, we got to get you on the show. 3 years later. here we are, but I'm so excited to have you on, man. Now, for you guys who don't know him, Schwa does the Techno Retro Dads podcast, as well as a host of other online social media. I know him from like some of the old convention days, and in fact, we were getting on here, man, before we started the podcast proper, and I was trying to remember when we first officially met. It could have possibly been at my like second convention ever, Star Wars Celebration, in Orlando in 2010. Oh, I guess we have to back when they named when they had numbers on them.
Yeah, it could have been. Now they're all kind of blending together to me now, but in a good way.
Yes, yes, and it's hard to believe, man, that was 5 years ago. We definitely got to hang out a little bit for the first time at Fan Days in Dallas back in 2011, and that was some of the earliest days of this very podcast. In fact, I think this podcast was literally like a dozen episodes old, and here we are 220-some-odd episodes later, still doing our thing, man, still doing it. But actually, I was going to... We've got some news and some other things that we're going to talk about tonight, including some updated news on Celebration London. I've got some news on that front for myself as well. We've also got, a few rumors and some nice little tidbits about the filming of Episode 8 currently happening in Ireland. Not in Skellig Michael, which is a shame, because I love to say Skellig Michael. It's just fun to say, but in Ireland nonetheless, and of course your emails and more. But before we get into any of that, I just wanted to ask you, Josh, what's your Star Wars story to totally rip off my good friend Scott Rifen?
Where? Because I've known you. Star Wars story?
Yeah. Well, let me put this in context. Because
okay, yeah, you'll have to, because my Star Wars story is what, like, you know, 40 some odd years old or something like exactly. That, or almost, you know.
Well, I have to put this in context because I've talked many times on this podcast about how my Star Wars fandom was very a typical kid of the 90s story, in that, you know, my introduction to Star Wars was through The Phantom Menace, but when I really started getting into it was early in the days of podcasting, when I discovered the Forcecast way back in the day. And I remember like snooping around forums and stuff back in high school, and realizing that there were like these whole vibrant communities. So like I've known the screen name Jedi Schwa for forever, and I'm still very happy that you still use the same avatar on Skype.
Oh yeah, of course. But I got to keep that around. That's like classic.
Exactly. Don't change a thing, sir. But what's so I know you got in on the world of podcasting, but you're the OG original generation Star Wars, right?
Yeah, yeah, I am, and definitely. I was around. I was only 6 years old back in 77, but that pretty much changed my life there. But you know, fast forwarding to the more modern times, back in those forum days, you know, because it was pretty much just me and my brother growing up.
Yeah.
But as I got older and I started discovering those forums like you, I found out that there was a world full of people that kind of felt the way I did. And I loved connecting with them so much. And, you know, back then when you made those screen names for forums and stuff like that, it sort of stuck with me, you know, and that just sort of became, that's how everybody knew me. So I never stopped using that. And, you know, here all these years later, I'm still Jedi Schwa. That's how people know me. So, but through that, I've met so many people and had so much fun, and I love getting together with them at celebrations and conventions and stuff. So,
yeah, because I remember showing up at Fan Days, and it was still early on in the convention scene for me. I'd been to a small little sci-fi con in Tennessee, and then Celebration was my first kind of foray, but I still didn't know very many people. And Fan Days was, I just remember there was a crew, right? And this was new. Like there were Star Wars friends that you would normally think of your experience growing up in, like, high school, like all your college buddies, but just except we're all Star Wars buddies. And I love the fact that that's kind of trans. It seems normal now, looking back on it, though. Did that change the way you were as a Star Wars fan at all? Like, what was the difference between pre-convention and post-convention schwa? Like, what was your first convention?
My first convention was Celebration 1 here in Denver.
No
back
way.
In 99.
Really?
So,
yeah, I mean, one of the 10,000 few.
Well, it was here. It was where I live. And I, at first, you know, I wasn't even going to go. I'm like, I guess I can go check it out. Because my preconceived notions of conventions were much different than what they are in reality. And so I wasn't even sure if it was worth going. And I can't imagine missing one now. I mean, and they've grown so much bigger since that day. Although that was for the time, for me, that was an amazing amount of people. But
well, I feel like for me, there's this epiphany, right? That there's the world of podcasting that was this huge epiphany for me. And then also the world of conventions where, like, wow, this huge world is opening up. But you were kind of there on the ground as this world opened up. Have you been to every U.S. celebration then?
Every U.S. celebration, yes.
Wow. That's amazing. That is awesome.
Well, like I said, I can't imagine missing one. I mean, I went here, you know, with my family because it wasn't hard because we lived here. And then when it moved to Indianapolis, I was going to go by myself, but I asked a buddy if he wanted to go, and he went out there with me. He's just somebody I lived here with. He liked Star Wars too, but he wasn't a member of that forum community. So he went to the second and third one with me. And then at the let's see, where was it? Los Angeles, California? The fourth one, I think.
That sounds right.
He couldn't go. So I was going to go by myself, but my wife decided that she would go with me. And, you know, she likes Star Wars. She's okay with that. But she's not a big fan like me. And, you know, we went and she started walking around a little bit with me and doing other stuff with her friend, whatever. But after going to that, she got hooked too. And now she doesn't like missing them. And she has not missed one since then. And she comes to all of them with me. So it's I tell you what, there's nothing else like it. And they're addicting, you know?
Yeah. But why? Like, why is that? I'm trying to put my finger on especially because I find myself, here's like the real deal, folks. Like, Riley's just a poor college student, but I am scraping together the pennies now. We're going to talk about Celebration London in a moment, but like, I'm finding some buddies, scraping together fare for airline tickets and working throughout the summer to make sure that I can put the pennies together to go, travel to Europe a little bit this summer because it's the last summer before I commission in the Air Force next year. But B, like, it doesn't hurt the fact that there's a Star Wars celebration in London either.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm trying to put my finger on why.
You know, I don't think there's just one thing.
Yeah.
For me, you know, when I go, you are around thousands of like-minded people, you know? And not to say – now, in my daily life, I absolutely say it loud, say it proud. I am a Star Wars fan that is well known in the community and everybody I know at work. My students, I'm a fifth grade teacher. My students, their families, it's not a secret. If there's a celebration and they find out about it, they know where I'm going. I mean, there's no sense in even lying where I'm going to be. I mean, so there's no secret. But when you know you're still looked upon by others that aren't fans in a different way, whether it bothers you or not, you know, that's up to you. But when you go to a celebration, you're just immersed in this energy of these people that are so excited to be there, and they're so loving every single minute of it because they're surrounded by the thing that they like. And I think that's the biggest thing to me, you know. And also, of course, there's always the excitement of what's to come, and you're close to the people that are in the movie or that work on the movie. And so there's that as well, you know. But for me, it's just that energy of the people that are there.
Well, take me back to what that energy was like specifically with the first celebration at Denver. Were you like all in on the Phantom Menace hype at the time?
Oh, at the time and still currently. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget that. It was I was going to go the first day and then, you know, check it out. And then I ended up going every day after that. And it was so much smaller. It was almost like Fan Days, if you've ever been to I guess those early Fan Days. I don't know what they're like now, but it was more intimate. There was quite a few people there. Unfortunately, you know, they didn't know what to expect, and so there were a lot of things that they learned from in that, like not to put things outside in tents, especially if there's a unexpected 100-year storm that comes through that same weekend. But hey, you know, that's nothing you can control. And like I said, they didn't know what was coming. They didn't know how popular it was going to be. So I got to see Ray Park on stage. You know, he was kind of demonstrating things for the first time. C-3PO Anthony Daniels was up there in his gold sparkly jacket. Warwick Davis just walking around talking to people. I don't even know if he had an onstage thing. He probably did, but we kind of stopped him outside in the middle of the street. He just started talking to us, signed our badges, just hung out, took a picture with my son. That was it. I mean, he was just there. We didn't stand in line for autographs or anything like that. He was just there. So it was much different back then. The energy since has increased, you know, at every celebration afterwards. But that one was different just because it felt like it was the one that started it all.
Well, you remind me, because especially as it's weird, but the last few weeks, I blatantly hinted on it last week. I'm working on a new podcast project that will have updates throughout the summer as this thing gets closer to launching. But I've been doing a lot of research and really thinking a lot about, of all things, the Phantom Menace a lot in the last few months since the release of The Force Awakens, because I had a delayed Phantom Menace experience because I never saw it the summer it came out. It would have been if it was a few years later, actually, when my parents moved back to the States permanently. I grew up overseas primarily, and so even though I remember that summer, there's tons and tons and tons of hype and friends of mine that were all playing Star Wars, right? It wouldn't have been until a few years later. But even though I didn't even see the movie in summer 99, it was still a huge part of the popular culture, even though I was only here for a few months in 99 as a kid. I'll never forget just how much of a huge deal that was. And I talked about this on the show a few weeks ago, and I'm going to totally do this thing now. Hopefully I'm going to stand up away from my desk and just kind of yell at the microphone, and hopefully it picks it up, because here's the deal, guys. I've gotta grab this box. Fortunately, I can't hear a thing.
He's getting a box, folks. He's picking it up.
Here we go. Oh,
here he comes. Back to the mic.
Wait for it.
And he's back.
I'm putting the headphones back on. All right. Hopefully, I didn't go totally dead. If you guys can hear me again. All right. So, let me grab the wrapping here. I got this absolutely incredible gift from Andrew. You know who you are, who sent me a message because I talked about this Craigslist listing that I saw that I had this weird nostalgia for and wanted to get is that's because I have this distinct memory growing up of a good friend of mine who had collected all of the Phantom Menace Pepsi cans and displayed them in this giant case on his bedroom wall. And lo and behold, in the mail, I'm literally hear that sound of the wrapping covering this box of vintage Pepsi products of the original Phantom Menace run. It's this nice. Huge case. And it's literally floored. Andrew, thank you so much for sending that. I'm going to be taking a picture of it here shortly and posting it up on the show notes for this week's episode, as well as our social media. But like, there's this weird nostalgia I have. And when you're talking about the Phantom Menace, I've been thinking so much about it because you went through it, Josh. What's the big difference? Actually, more importantly, what are the similarities, I think, of the sort of great awakening of Star Wars fandom again as The Force Awakens built up, and now we can really look back on it now that that's a few months past?
Yeah, well, I want to emphasize that I think it's more similar than different.
Yeah.
And one of the things that kind of, you know, gets me when people kind of badmouth the prequels, and especially Phantom Menace, is that back then, when we were all looking forward to it, we were really excited. I think the hype is the fun part of the movie, you know? As a matter of fact, when the movie comes out, it's great. It's fun to see. You know, you love it. You have a great time. But it's kind of like Christmas, you know? You wake up, you open your presents, and then it's over.
Yeah.
And then you got to wait. So the hype, to me, is the fun part. Going out and getting those Pepsi cans, which I have too, and luckily I have drained them so they didn't explode on me. Also, you know, going to Taco Bell and Pizza Hut Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Kentucky Fried Chicken, I think. Getting all the toys. Yeah, just all of that stuff leading up to the movie. Everybody was super excited. I stood in line outside the movie theater for 18 hours just to go in and not to get the tickets, but to actually just see it, you know. We saw people being interviewed. It was, you know, TV reporters out there. We would go into the movie theater, the excitement in the movie theater. We would come out of the movie theater. There was excitement coming out of the movie theater. The hate and the trash talk was not there back then. Now, some people didn't care for it. And maybe this is just, you know, we got more social media to spread that kind of garbage. But people had a good attitude about it. It was popular. It was a well-liked movie all through the summer. It made a lot of money. So it was very similar to The Force Awakens, the feeling that I had with The Force Awakens. And that's why it was fun back then. That's why it was fun this time. And I had a great time. And that's why I like the prequels. Not because they're the most well-written or well-performed movies that were ever made, but because I had so much fun doing them. And I made hundreds of friends across the globe because of them. So why would I badmouth those prequels? I love them. They're a great part of my life.
I feel like the stage now is that a lot of people just kind of ignore them who didn't like them, which is fine. One thing I kind of hope over time is that there's this sort of appreciation for at least the cultural zeitgeist that surrounded the prequels, and not just the cultural zeitgeist. When I say that, a lot of people might think of how everyone hated it, but like critically speaking, it was and to this day is very much it's nerd talking points, but it's not necessarily when you say George Lucas to the average person, people still think, oh yeah, the guy who created Star Wars, not, oh yeah, the guy who ruined Star Wars. And I think that's still out there in the culture. I just kind of hope that geek culture, especially as we have these really well-made, great Star Wars movies coming out, that, again, the part of George Lucas, whether you do or don't like the prequels and the filmmaking style there, we still have an element of appreciation, at least just for who he is and what he's responsible for.
I completely agree. I don't understand the vitriol that is out there, and I will never support that. I mean, the man made some quality artwork and pushed the movie industry in an excellent direction. And, you know, in different points throughout the years since Star Wars has been out, has saved the movie industry in a lot of ways. So, I think his legacy continues to do that. So I hope that his legacy continues to be positive, because I actually, you know, like you said, when you think of George Lucas, it's Star Wars. But I think people push it now toward the other way, and I think that's happening a lot as they try to distance themselves from the prequels, that people are trying to kind of lay the blame on George maybe a little bit, and I don't like that. But
yeah, and it'll be interesting just to see how that. I think it's already happened to an extent, but it will continue over time. This talking point was really first introduced by a buddy of mine, Justin Robert Young, on Star Wars Tonight, the Star Wars Tonight podcast that I did in the lead up to The Force Awakens. And if you want to kind of recapture a daily podcast, which is what it was, chronicling our entire journey leading up to the last 30 days of the film release of The Force Awakens, he was the first to really bring this, because he hates the prequels. Not, and hates a strong word, and he that would be a fair description, not a fan at all. But even then, I think that was no longer the talking point, what comes to mind when it comes to Star Wars for him, because we're at a phase where we're looking forward. George Lucas is no longer concerned with making movies. He's concerned with trying to make museums, if they don't keep getting shut down in every city he tries to make them. Although I will say this as a total side note. I'm going to save it for Boba's Bounty. I've got a fun little prequel. If you don't like the dialogue of the prequels, I have a solution for you. but I'll bring that up later in the program. For
loosen up a little bit, that would be my suggestion.
that and there's also a book that will perfect it. In case that becomes the case. But I think let's take a brief moment out. We'll be right back, and we're going to be doing the news next. That's right. It's all 8-bit today, folks. Yeah. I want to take a moment before we jump into the news to say that this episode is made possible by the folks supporting us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. If you head over there, you can check out some fun little bonuses that we do each week as a way of rewarding and thanking you guys who are supporting the show and making it happen each and every week. So if you want to check out like our weekly Star Wars Rebels commentary series, as well as some other behind-the-scenes videos, photos, private Facebook groups, fun stuff like that, you can read all about it over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Again, that's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's convincing. This 8-bit Star Wars album. I'm not even going to lie. All right, folks, let's get into a little bit of the news this week. Some sad news, unfortunately. I have literally sitting next to me a box, an unopened box of the Star Wars set of Disney Infinity. And at this rate, it may not be opened because they're pulling the plug. Disney is pulling the plug on Disney Infinity, which includes, of course, their awesome Star Wars line. Really the first of its type to really hit the mainstream.
Boo. And I'm booing that they're canceling it. I'm not booing the Star Wars part of it.
fair enough. But it's not just that. They've ended the game. They're shuttering the game studio Avalanche, and they're moving forward with no game publishing. That's no longer part of it, which it's kind of an extension of when they shuttered LucasArts back in the day. Remember all the wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'm still waiting for 1313, Disney. It's a tragedy.
My question is, why couldn't they have another game company just maybe take some of these things over? It seems like, I mean, maybe that would cut some of their costs.
Well,
and continue, you know, a little, maybe a profit-making thing. I don't know.
I don't know what it is there. Like, I've seen a lot of figures on sale. This is totally anecdotal evidence, but I absolutely love the concept, but it's a little bit out of... I don't know. See, like, I would rather spend $10 on an Infinity figure than $9 on an action figure, because I've never been one of the 3 3/4 collectors, so I've never quite understood I understand their appeal, but it's never been my thing. So the Disney Infinity, however, I really love the animated style. I really love the fact that it integrates with all the intellectual properties, which is why I have it, but I've never actually played it, and I'm kind of sad now that... it's not going to be a thing. And but it makes sense. It makes sense. And that, it's not to say that Star Wars games aren't going to be continue to come out. EA is developing even more, and they're just going to be continuing the Star Wars property on video games by licensing it out to third-party developers like EA. And in fact, there are already rumors right now that they're working on Battlefront 2, which would be nice if as long as it's... I mean, there are complaints, legitimate and otherwise, about Battlefront. I love it, but I can see if they introduce Battlefront 2 1 year after Battlefront comes out, there might be some, like I say, wailing and gnashing of teeth. You could say that. Let's get straight into it. Star Wars Celebration news here. Late breaking news, too, by the way. But we'll start with Kathleen Kennedy and Rogue One's Gareth Edwards. And, quote, special guests. They're going to headline Celebration Europe. So, of course, the Rogue One director, Gareth Edwards, and Kathleen Kennedy, they're opening with a special panel at Celebration Europe. This will be a Friday panel, kind of similar to the Force Awakens reveal. I imagine that's probably where we'll get a new trailer. I imagine that's where we might get an official update on Episode 8. I really hope that they live stream this across the other panel rooms like they did at Celebration Anaheim, because it would be a shame not to get in, and I really want to get in.
That would be a shame.
yes, but on another note on Celebration, a good friend of the show, Amy Ratcliffe, is going to be hosting the behind-the-scenes stage. I just saw this on Facebook like 5 minutes before we started recording.
Excellent.
So huge congratulations to her, and I look forward to seeing her, because this is the official announcement. I keep hinting at it, but this is the official announcement. Yours truly will be at Celebration Europe. I'm very excited to say that not only will I be there, my sister Bethany, who's right now, by the way, Josh, in Latvia studying Russian on the dime of the Air Force.
Wow, excellent.
So she's doing a study abroad, and she just literally touched down yesterday.
Well, I am sure you keep in contact with her, so you make sure you tell her I said hi.
I will do so. Yes, I will. So she'll be studying. She was complaining to me via Snapchat, and I'm like, no, shut up. You don't get to complain that you're in Latvia for 4 weeks, all right? But she was like saying, yeah, I'm not really going to get to do much touristy stuff. It's such a big homework load. I'm like, all right, fine. Cry me a river, Bethany. No. Actually, it's really cool. It's a really cool opportunity that she's studying a complete scholarship through the Air Force language program. And so she'll be there, but she'll be finishing literally Friday is her last day. So she will be arriving at Celebration the day it starts, or maybe even she might be able to make it in Thursday evening, depending on how scheduling and tests and stuff happen there. More updates on that later. I just want to stay tuned. We're going to be doing a meetup of some kind. I've not worked out any details. I need to talk to a lot of people. We'll be doing some sort of meetup, and we are going to be putting in for, and there's a very good possibility, we'll put it that way, it's not official yet, but there's a good possibility that we'll be doing a live podcast from the convention. But we'll stay tuned on details for that. We'll be updating you each and every week as these sorts of plans actually come to fruition. So it's that time, man. I'm getting excited. We got Celebration, then of course, Schwa, you got to come out to Dragon Con. This needs to be a thing. We're already putting together plans and stuff this year. Have you ever been?
I have never been to Dragon Con. Actually, it sounds very appealing to me. It sounds like a little bit more wild of a party than the conventions that I have attended.
It is. Well, it's so big and versatile and diverse. It really just depends on where you go, when you go. So yes, there is a wild element, but I think it's honestly at this stage kind of exaggerated. I think that might have been true for like 2007 Dragon Con. And there are parties and stuff, but you know, I honestly like it's a toss up. I really like Dragon Con. I consider Dragon Con my home convention, and which it helps because it's right here in Atlanta. And then Celebration is sort of like Celebration sort of like the wedding anniversary with all my Star Wars friends. My Star Wars friendship marriage with everybody is at Celebration. And of course, as we talked about a few days ago, they have officially announced Star Wars Celebration will be returning to Orlando.
Nice.
What have we here? You've already booked your hotels, right?
No.
I haven't either. I'm going, but I haven't booked anything yet.
If I could get my computer back that just pooped out on me, I would love to do that. Yes, I'm very excited about that. As expensive as that's going to be for me, I'm very stoked that that's going back there.
And you are going, right?
Oh, yes. Make it. Oh, yes.
Good, good, good. That's the way, as well it should be. Like, I'll never forget Anaheim. We all went out to dinner. Where, I forget the restaurant, but that's where I discovered Uber.
My Buca de Beppo.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm not going to try to say what you just said, but I'll take I'll take your word for it. So a lot of updates going to be coming, both official and Star Wars Report updates, as we go wall to wall with daily coverage of the convention, both Star Wars Celebration London and Star Wars Celebration Orlando and Dragon Con, and who knows what else. It's hard to say. I'm just like sitting here. I'm still ticked off about Star Wars weekends. It's, come on, Disney. Just do do a little section off something in Magic Kingdom. I know they're doing construction, yada, yada, yada. It just happens to be their most successful summer event. Come on.
I don't get it.
Yeah, you've been at the last several too, right? I remember you were there last year, right?
I think I've been to two of them. Was that last year? Something like that.
I went to 2 years, two summers ago was when I first went to Disney, and then I went back last summer. I went twice each summer because I liked it so much. I was a Disney convert. Teresa Delgado made me a Disney convert.
She's good at that.
She's a professional. She should be getting paid lots of money.
I'm with you. I agree.
Are you going to there's the Rebel Force Radio meetup, right? Are you going to be there at that weekend this year?
Unfortunately, I am doing some school duties that weekend. I'm going to be taking a group of children to Washington, D.C., so I won't be available that weekend.
That is unfortunate. I don't think I'll be down there either, just because of scheduling. Every last penny is going towards getting out to Celebration.
I'm sure.
So I don't think that I'll swing it. I might. I'm actually looking because I have the I purchased through our family AAA. I purchased because this was the only way you could do it. The non-expiring tickets. And locked them in at a lower rate. So I've got like a handful of Disney tickets left that I might just like. Here's the thing, like this is like the level of planning, and penny pinching. The triple P. we're not talking. I'm a poli sci major. When I say triple P, I'm not talking about public policy polling. I'm talking about penny pinching and what the other two things I just said. I totally looked at flights out of Atlanta to London, and then flights out of Orlando. And the flights out of Orlando, like $100, $150 cheaper, which is not like a huge difference, but that's like the difference of a Disney ticket. So like if you're going to fly out somewhere, an excuse for a road trip, I might be crazy enough to see like do one day at Disney, then fly out. Just because it doesn't feel like Celebration if there's not a Disney close to it. Dagnabbit.
Yeah, anymore. That's how it is.
I know. I think about this, like every Celebration I've been to had a Disney close to it. But I did not go to Disney that first one, which is one of my great regrets. It's just one of those things that you people underestimate. Disney's awesome. Disney with friends, awesomer. But yeah. So there it is, Celebration Europe. We will keep you guys updated as we go. Also, I'm gonna hit up one more news story. It'll be interesting to see. Could this be spoilery? Kind of spoilery. Okay, it's spoilery. The second, by the way, Josh. The second that you ask yourself, could this be spoilery? The answer is yes. It's spoilery.
Somebody, it is.
So yeah, exactly. I will get the emails. So
relax on the spoilers, people. Come on, it's all good fun. You'll still have a good time.
Yeah. We'll talk about that and we'll do a special spoiler segment after emails. We got one more news story. It is the Star Wars show. I feel like I have mixed feelings. I'm gonna be so brutally honest and just say I have such mixed feelings about this project. So officially from StarWars.com, they are launching the Star Wars Show, a weekly Wednesday YouTube show hosted by Andy Gutierrez on the official Star Wars YouTube channel. It's kind of cool. It's totally like non-monetized and stuff. It's just them talking about the community. They highlight some of the May the 4th stuff in their first episode, and they kick it off with a cool interview with Duncan Jones. And it's a really cool concept, and it's sort of it's a weird mix of, like, I feel like the popular kid is now at the party, right?
Yeah.
So it feels kind of weird to have essentially StarWars.com jump into the realm of fan programming, because... And I don't know why I didn't feel this way for Rebels Recon, but it's literally that. It's basically the official, it's an official video podcast, but not podcast. And it's kind of cool because, like, I know that, the honestly, like, huge props really go to the trailblazing of a proof of concept and that J.C. Reifenberg did through the Comlink. And that was really, he put so much work into that. I remember the stuff they were doing at Celebration Anaheim, just absolutely astounding, and they really trailblazed this. But it's really, at the same time, though, I will say this, it's really cool. It's Lucasfilm recognizing that fan content like this, that's just like commentary and interviews, is valuable, and valuable enough for them to dedicate the time, production, and money and staff into doing a fully produced one. And it's super professionally produced, and it is different. It's not just like another fan commentary podcast or YouTube series. It's very highly produced, and the fact that it is from Lucasfilm, I think, gives its own, it has its own drawbacks, I'm sure, because they're not going to be exactly commenting on all the latest rumors like we're going to in our spoiler segment. But at the same time, it gets you kind of a look inside Lucasfilm and a more official take on the goings on week to week. It's just going to be weird to have an official take on the goings on week to week from Lucasfilm, right? That kind of feels like this is the highly, this is a highly produced press release, and I mean this in the best of ways, but it is kind of funny. It's like the press release on the goings-on of what's happened this week, but it's the official, it's the Lucasfilm take. So it's an interesting, it's going to be interesting to see how they stride that balance, but as I thought more and more about it, I think the best way that I can contextualize this is the way that StarWars.com has always produced video for celebrations, and like all the Verizon stuff they did, like that's something that no fan production could have done, period. So I'm looking forward to instead of just doing this at Celebration, they're kind of doing this week to week now, Wednesdays on the official Star Wars YouTube channel. What was your take, Josh?
Nah. You know, I've been, for so many years, I have been listening to podcasts, you know, and fan podcasts, basically. That I like that part of it because it's just kind of like hanging out with buddies. And this is a more official thing. And yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. I guess I just don't get the excitement for it as I do, because I don't feel as you know, good as it is. And I have no problem. I actually really like Andy Gutierrez, but you know, it's not that same feel. It's not like you're really part of the party. You're just watching.
I'm so glad I don't. I'm so content. Glad you have no idea. I'm so glad I'm not alone on this.
And yeah, I think, I mean, I don't mind it, but it doesn't get me excited.
It's recognition. It's recognition of a part of the community that is really important. Like podcasting for the last 6 years, it started with Jimmy and Jason. Like I always say this every time.
Oh yeah,
because like there were podcasts before, but they really made it mainstream, and then more and more people got in and started doing it well. And not only, what I love about this is that we all like know each other and like each other. Like I mean, that's the cool thing, is that I have personally met and interacted with and had a good time with most of the major Star Wars podcasts, especially like going back to Celebration, ones that are there in person, and that I love that that part of the community. That is a part of the community, so it's sort of like it's like a recognition of something that doesn't know that something. Does that make sense? It's recognition.
I think so.
But you can't. Like, that's the thing.
No, here's
we're
the
really
thing
nerdy.
For me.
Like, this is a very specific subsection of fandom, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty large section, I would think. But, I mean, it's kind of cool to be able to go to a place like Celebration and have somebody know you and recognize you. that you have literally never met and possibly ever even talked to before, because they listen to you on a podcast, even if you were just a caller into that podcast, you know?
Yeah.
I had people do that way back at Fan Days. They knew me just from, you know, every once in a while calling up on Forcecast. They knew me from that. And that's just kind of cool, because it's like you have all these friends you don't even realize, and that's one of the energy thing I was talking about.
Yes, absolutely. It fits the bill for a much, much larger social Star Wars community of people who follow the official YouTube channel. That is just, it's different, and that's just the way it is. It is different than the Star Wars podcaster world, and especially from what's funny is that I always considered myself the newcomer until I looked left and right and realized that my podcast is like now 4 years older than most of the other podcasts because of the litany of shows that started right after like the Disney announcement, and we'd already been going for like 3 years then. So now I realize like I'm the young old person. Like our podcast is old, but then also I'm a literal whippersnapper. So it's interesting. I'll be interested to. I will definitely be watching each week, and it'll be interesting to see if this is like the new platform. This is probably a good platform for Lucasfilm to have, because you remember like those super awkward interviews with Lynn Hale and George Lucas right after the purchase. Like on the future direction.
Yes, yes.
Like I feel like that was extremely important at the time to satiate and communicate with the diehard Star Wars fans who at the time were subscribed to the Star Wars YouTube channel. Which now that the people subscribe to the Star Wars YouTube channel, that's a much, 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 much larger swath of people because there's been a new film, right? So,
right.
But at the time, I feel like that this is now a good platform for that kind of thing. I would love to have a show, because here's the thing. Us little podcasters aren't going to be talking to Rian Johnson, right? We're not going to be talking to him and getting the official word on the latest on episode 8. But so this is a good platform for him to do that in something that might not otherwise be done, or might just be done through like one of the trades, like Variety or Entertainment Weekly, something like that, which is okay. But print just isn't the same as seeing or hearing it. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're not going to see some of those people on your mainstream TV. You know, your late night talk shows and things like that. You're not really going to be hearing from them. So it's kind of an in-between thing, you know?
Yeah, so like we're not going to hear from people until like the actual press tour of Rogue One starts or of Episode 8 starts, so that'll be interesting to go from there. Let's see here. I feel like we need a little bit of a sounder. Here we go. Let's see if we'll transition to emails right after this. I think he said. See, here's the thing when you don't have your familiar audio set up. All right, here we go. A little bit of 8-bit. Let's go back here. Go. All right. We are back. Let's do a few emails, and we'll do y'all a spoiler segment for you guys, and then we will continue on from there. Let's start off with an email we've got from Adam. Adam says, here we go. Hey, love the podcast, Riley. Have you heard of Elstree 1976? Also, where did I hear that Boba Fett wasn't even Mandalorian, either in Clone Wars or other? Of course, Jango started with the costume. Keep up the good podcasting. Mark cracks me up. He sounds like Jonah Hill. Oh, I wish Mark was. I wish Mark was here for that one. That's a first. I had not heard that one, Adam. Adam, thanks so much for writing in. I have heard of just recently this week. I've heard of Elstree 1976, but that's literally all I know. I'm pretty sure it's a documentary, as I understand. Are you familiar
with
this?
Yeah, we talked about this on Techno Retro Dads last week, or whenever last time I had a computer. I'm very excited to see this documentary. I have not seen it yet. It just came out, but I really am looking forward to getting it.
Wow. Wow. So yeah, I'm looking at it now. I'll be interested to take a look at it. Is it online or is it screening anywhere?
I don't think it's screening.
Okay, so it's just online.
I think you can purchase it, and I also think you can get it online.
Sweet. I'll take a look at it. I'm interested to see because I've been seeing headlines here and there, but I haven't had the chance to check it out. If you want, Adam, shoot us a follow up and let us know about where you heard about it and a little bit about it, and if there's like an official link somewhere, we'll take a look at it from there. The Mandalorian thing. This comes from Rebels, right?
Clone Wars, I think.
Well, technically true, because it's the fact that he wore Mandalorian armor. Well, I'm trying to remember what the Clone War situation was with Boba Fett, because I remember it was a big kerfuffle at the time, right?
Yeah, they went to Mandalore and they mentioned Jango Fett, and they said he's not even Mandalorian or something.
That's
I think that's right. How I remember it.
It was an offhand comment from Tony Stark's boss. Friend, John Favreau. that's right. Because that was that's a quote from Pre Vizsla, the Mandalorian clan leader from the Clone Wars, and it was an offhand comment, but that kind of threw some continuity out of whack. But hey, in the intervening time, I don't think it's canon now. So at some point, Jango Fett evidently probably stole the armor from a Mandalorian. I guess it's the assumption. It's what I would imagine. And yes, so it was Jango Fett originally, where that word came. And again, thanks for the email, Adam. Let's jump to our next email, which is from Chase. This is in response to last week's podcast. I said, Riley, based on your solicitation for emails, which I did, I was totally shameless about this. On behalf of your friend Bailey, I'm offering my initial impression of The Force Awakens. So last week, Josh, I had the chance to cold interview an ROTC buddy of mine after we had just watched the Blu-ray of The Force Awakens, his second, my tenth time. And it was a really interesting kind of raw, honest conversation of someone who's very much outside of the community. So this is where the email comes from, and this is Chase's initial impressions, or excuse me, Charlie's initial. I combined the first and last. For this from Charlie, says, I was thrilled that the opening crawl heavily referenced Luke Skywalker, but then left the theater in dismay that our Jedi Master didn't utter a single word. There was no payoff for a film with so much anticipation about the need for Luke Skywalker and the principal characters. The new characters are great, but JJ and Larry treated the original trio too shabbily. So, Schwa, what do you think? Too shabbily? Did they get the short shrift? Was it too much focus on the?
All right, I'll be as brief and polite as I can. No payoff, really? Okay.
Speaking broadly. I think that there's a fall down. I don't know about a payoff.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, I guess for me it was a payoff. I guess I just don't agree with that. Everybody's definitely entitled to their opinion and feelings on that. I didn't think they did treat him too shabbily, but I guess I see your point of view, you know, as far as screen time for everybody but Han. But I mean, they were setting up a much bigger story where I know Luke and possibly Leia are going to take a much bigger role. So I think, you know, when they were making this movie, it wasn't with the intent of just having a just over two hour story and then be done with the characters. I mean, there's a bigger trilogy in mind here. So I felt like there was plenty of payoff. I had a great time all seven times I saw it.
Ah, well, hey, nice even time too. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So, I've got one more email, and then I've got, I'm going to do a little bit of a spoiler section here at the end. What I'm going to do, though, right now is Schwa, you've been far too polite, because I realized I just got the Skype message that you fired along, because I know you've got more recording. And so speaking of more recording, I'm going to let you go ahead and bounce, because I know it's well past your committed time. So I want you to let folks know where they can find you online. And thanks so much for being on, man.
Oh, well, I had a great time. I love talking to you, man, and there's always so much great stuff to talk about, and so I had a wonderful time. Sorry, I have to run a little bit early here. I am going now over to talk to Jovial J. Shepherd as we discuss our hero podcast that we do. We do three hero podcasts on the Random Chatter Network. We do Green Justice, which is an Arrow podcast on the Arrow TV show. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, talking about those shows. So you can find those at randomchatter.com. And, of course, you can find me talking with Shaz Bazaar himself, yeah. Hondo the Man. You can find us over there at, you can find us at technoretrodads.com, or you can find lots of other podcasts at the retrozap.com podcast network over there. So
everything on iTunes,
of course. So
absolutely, man. Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on this week, and we'll have you back and stay in touch, man. I know we've got Orlando coming up and possible other future plans. So don't be a stranger.
Oh, absolutely. And everybody out there listening, please come say hi to me. I love meeting new people and talking to people. So when you see me, don't hesitate to stop. I'd love to take a picture with you and chat for a little bit. So
indeed. Indeed. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There we go. Man, like I feel bad now. I totally lost track of time. I was having so much fun. I've got to be careful there. All right. So let's finish it up here. Let's finish it up. I do have one more email I want to highlight. This one comes from Meredith. I'm going to have to pull it up here in my doc. From Meredith, who I had featured a couple weeks ago. She sent up a follow-up, and she shared with us that they had just gotten back from a full week-long family vacation to Disneyland, and she sent us these awesome pictures of meeting the Wookiees and having a great time riding Star Tours with her 5-year-old son and 48-year-old husband. And so it was interesting. She goes through the Season of the Force, and her review was I'll go straight to the email here. She says all of Season of the Force at Disneyland was really fun, as was all of Disneyland and California Adventure, and we can't wait to go back and see Star Wars Land once it's complete. And she also included from the Seasons of the Force that some really cool pictures of Ahsoka and Ezra's lightsabers and Sabine's helmet, which are on display. And that's one reason I kind of casually mentioned it. If I could make it down to Disney this summer, I do really want to kind of catch Season of the Force and get a gander at what it's like. Meredith, thanks so much for your email, and thanks so much for supporting us on Patreon as well. Seriously, it means the world, means the absolute world. Let's see here. All right, let's get into it. It's time for a few spoilers. I feel what would be like a good spoiler theme if I didn't have let's jump back to the old 8-bit here. This is your official spoiler warning. Da-da-da-da-da-dum. All right. You have been warned. We are now jumping into spoiler territory. Here's the deal. Episode 8 is filming currently, and the Episode 8 cast just now arrived in Belfast. It's a big buzz everywhere. A bunch of local papers and stuff carrying paparazzi-style photos. The best thing about it is that Mark Hamill is showing off as he's getting into his transportation vehicle. He's just giving the big V victories as if he's a political candidate departing from a rally. It's the best thing ever. He went all out for the photographers. I will say this, though. His co-star is a little less outgoing. And by his co-stars, this is where the spoiler possibly comes in. Both Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver seen landing in Belfast. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, Ryan Johnson and Daisy Ridley, no surprise that they're there, but the fact that Adam Driver is, maybe he's just heading out to say hi, but they're filming at Malin Head, which is the only known filming location in Northern Ireland. There are, there is a kind of cool map that the Star Wars News Net blog put together of filming locations in Ireland, because I know that, of course, we've got Skellig Michael, we've got the northern part of Ireland, and then a lot in the southwestern portion. So you've got Skellig Michael, you've got Sean Sebald, Dunmore Head, County Kerry, and all of these are in County Kerry. So a lot of County Kerry filming locations, and RTE Ireland, which is a local radio and television programming in Ireland, has reported that there are effectively no fly zones over film sets, and this is being implemented by the Irish Aviation Authority. And this is over some various scenic headlands, and it's all for the shooting of episode 8. Been a lot of leaked pictures. I'm not going to even go over it here because I perused some, but didn't look too closely. A lot of stuff that seems consistent with what we saw from Skellig Michael. But there are some other ones too. It'll be interesting to see what other types of potential, you know, filming locations is. I am straddling the line a little bit with what's the word I'm looking for? Spoilers. You know, I'm not totally avoiding, but I'm not going too out of my way. I will say this: Adam Driver being there. I mean, maybe there was a tracking system on the Millennium Falcon. You never know. That would be fascinating. There's just not that much we know. I don't know enough about any leaked concept art or scripts or anything. I have kind of avoided anything like that, so I don't really have any puzzle pieces to put together yet, but I do think it's interesting. And just overall, Ireland, just beautiful, beautiful filming locations. The pictures I have seen of the scenery, just absolutely stunning. And I will say this, it's sort of like those last few minutes of The Force Awakens are kind of like the Star Wars Middle Earth, right? It kind of like seeing New Zealand only in a Star Wars movie, which I really, really did appreciate. So that's kind of the latest from episode 8. We will stay tuned. We will stay tuned for more as we go along. But I feel like, let's see if I can get this one working. Nope. See, like most of my awesome Star Wars songs are gone, but I can't close the podcast out without having my proper Star Wars. So I feel like since we were talking about Ireland, it's only appropriate that we cue up the old Jedi steps. Although I will say this, it's not even showing up there. All right. Here's the thing. I'm going to pause my recorder and then we'll be out of here. There we go. Okay, folks. That puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Huge, huge thank you to Jedi Schwa of the Techno Retro Dads podcast. You can check it out, technoretrodads.com. And, of course, a host of superhero-type shows over at the Random Chatter Network. Good times to be had. Mark will be back with us this week. Again, huge thanks to everyone who's supporting us on Patreon. Quick update for you patrons. If you're listening to the podcast version, I'll be uploading the very first full season episode of season one. We're going back to season one for our Rebels commentary, and then we'll catch up to where we started in season two. We're doing that each and every week on patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Check it out there, along with many other sweet bonus content. You can email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. I read and respond to every email, either on air or via email. So make sure you're sending us your thoughts, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. You're on Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. We're also Twitter.com/StarWarsReport. You can follow me personally on Twitter. It's @TheRileyGuy. And finally, if you haven't, please do. It really helps get the word out about the show. StarWarsReport.com/iTunes takes you right there. And if you want to find my personal blogs and personal podcasts and a few other things, you can go to RileyBlanton.com. That's all for this week. We'll catch you next time. Remember, many Bothans died to find Luke Skywalker. We'll see you guys next week. May the Force be with you. The Star Wars Report podcast is available at StarWarsReport.com. You can check out the full network of Second Airborne podcasts at StarWarsReport.com. You like Star Wars books? Check out Star Wars Bookworms and Star Wars Beyond the Films. If you like games, check out Cloud City Casino. Also, Rebels Roundtable is available right there. You can find all of these shows and more at StarWarsReport.com. We'll catch you guys on the other side. See you next week. All right, guys. Hey, if you're going to be... All right. If you're one of the people listening to the post show, here's what you need to do. If you're going to be at Celebration Europe, just simply email me, starwarsreport@gmail.com, and put Celebration Europe in the subject, and I will put together a list so that if we do a meetup, I'll let you know. Sound good? Cool. See you guys next week.